Yo, what's the most dope show? It's about that time to get live. Take a break from your 8 to 5. Them other guys don't have the ability to rip it. We kick it. Three guys on representing with the most killer spirit. And we coming with the jokes. So you better grab a good pen and pad for your notes. And forget them other folks, cause we got the best quotes. Randolph does more than just jokers. He broke and he got the files. Tell Andy Klein to turn up the dial. I don't know where that boy Tim is now. Raising the daughter, he hella proud. Andy is straight up and Randolph ain't here for racist. When Tim Miller hit, that got funny as shit. The sock puppets always be there to assist. Too many to name, but they all of this shit. I guess I could try. Love me some Frankie French. Milner and
Mike B.
Be lit. I cannot forget about Petey and Chris. J.L. Covan with them Trump impressions. Riding Cameron coming from the black guy who tips. That's a whole damn nation, so they always near. Pop, pop, bang, bang. Getting green, romaine. Three guys on sock puppet nation. Gang, gang. Yeah. What up,
Dominic?
Puerto Rico, suave. I know you thought I forgot about you, but I ain't forget about you, bro. Yeah, yeah. Puerto Rico, ooh. Puerto Rico, suave.
Now we're recording.
Nice. About to buy Ava a book. Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl.
Oh yeah, sorry, that book.
Yeah. Buy this shit off Amazon for her before they make it illegal. I'm sure Keisha probably know that. Go to book.
You'll never run into it at school.
I know. Well, maybe right now, but give it another couple months up, even up here, and it should be gone.
Yeah. All right. I mean, didn't y'all elect that dude?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what we get.
Oh, my bad, Lakita. I cut off the music, but
that's what we get.
I will, in the chat, post the link to the 3GO Hold Music playlist.
Hey, freeloaders, you're actually getting, y'all don't know about the 3GO Hold Music, so fuck y'all, but, you know, we're back today.
Many a day has passed, the night has gone by.
The Hold Music playlist is 473 songs long now.
Damn.
34 hours. Is there a limit to Spotify cap you at some point? 34 hours and 47 not. Minutes.
I don't think it's a limit.
I was listening to Bo on Jemele Hill's podcast, and he said she hit him with a this or that. Speaker box or Aquemini. Speaker box and left below it's Aquemini. Aquemini. I said this shit even before he said Aquemini.
That was nearly the conundrum she thought that was.
Yeah, I was like, that's not a hard question. Aquemini. That's easy. You know, there's no one for the table. We were talking about this today at the job. I feel that Arnold Schwarzenegger is an underrated actor. Mm-hmm. Just as an actor.
I think he's properly rated.
I think he's underrated. I think his acting skills, his acting, not his action skills and stuff, his acting. When I go back and think about Terminator, when it's like he could barely talk, the shit he was doing with his face and stuff like that, that was acting.
Isn't that like a stone face, though? Like, he's expressionless.
It's the timing. It's the eyes. If everybody could do it, they'd be doing it, but they can't.
There's only one Terminator. I mean, it's,
you know, there's a thing. That's acting, to be able to do it like that.
Other people have played Terminators, says Arnold.
Yeah,
that's true. There have been other Terminators.
Mm-hmm. Ain't none like him. The number two is obviously the second Terminator, but that guy's a good actor. So
Robert Patrick, right?
Yeah. But even because they lean on his action stuff, because obviously he's made some good action shit, obviously. But he does some good acting shit. Even in Conan, a couple of the monologues he had in Conan, they were good, dog.
I don't think I've seen Conan since I was a kid, but I've seen Kindergarten Cop. I don't know. I guess his acting was okay in that. I always felt like it was okay. Predator.
That's good acting in that.
Total Recall.
That's one of the funner ones, I think. Recall. What you think, Rod? You're an impossible white man guy.
I mean, he's an iconic impossible white man. I don't
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm with Andy in that he's properly rated as an actor.
Running Man, so that's Mark said in the chat.
I mean, he's been in some great iconic movie roles, period.
Yes.
But I don't know. Like, if I'm like, when I think of acting, I don't think I would put him near the top of my
put you this way.
Don't jump out.
Think about Steven Seagal in his movies. Terrible actor.
Mm-hmm.
Had a string of three good movies, three, maybe four. Mm-hmm. Above the Law.
All the three word titles.
Above the Law. The one on the boat, whose name always slips me.
It was Marked for Death.
Casey Marked fucking for Death, and Casey Hard fucking Ryback. as Patrice would say, my favorite line. Casey fucking Ryback's on this boat? Or every movie. Both movies. Casey fucking Ryback?
Under Siege. Was there a train movie with Seagal, or was that Under Siege? He was on
that
a
was
train.
Under Siege too, right?
Under Siege too.
Still sieging.
Siege on train.
Siege on.
Mo siege.
I think Seagal is known for being a bad actor. I don't know that Arnold Schwarzenegger at this point is known for being bad, which would make him underrated.
Terrible actor.
I mean, I think early in his career he was seen as like a stiff.
I think Arnold now is underrated. But that's if you look at the shit he does now, where he's learned to act.
Yeah.
So he has more acting as an old white man than the roles he took back in the day. The roles he took back in the day were so physical and depended so much on stoicism. Now he's actually like emoting somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Steven Seagal movie with Damon Wayans. Oh.
What one was that? Which one was that?
Can't remember.
Keenan Wayans.
The Glimmer Man.
There you go. Glimmer Man.
Oof. 1996.
Oh, the Glimmer Man.
I don't remember the Glimmer Man at all.
He went right past the one he made with Ja Rule.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, one with Ja Rule?
Yeah.
I never saw the Glimmer Man. What was Ja Rule?
Trying to make Ja Rule the new DMX.
Ja Rule. Oh, is that, wait, Half Past Dead? Is that that one? Seagal, Morris Chestnut, Ja Rule, Nia Peoples. What?
Nia Peoples?
So 2002. I don't remember this at all.
I don't know what happened to Nia Peoples. She seemed like she was poised to, maybe she didn't really have any talent other than just being Nia Peoples, but
she had personality.
She seemed like she was poised to do something and never did it.
Half Past Dead came out in 2002. It includes Steven Seagal, Morris Chestnut, and Ja Rule. I don't remember even a commercial for that movie.
Terrible.
This was back when people was trying to put rappers in
every movie. He was supposed to be the new DMX.
Okay, let me,
like, Romeo Must Die.
Yeah, you remember the movie with DMX and Jet Li?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Romeo Must Die.
Romeo Must Die. Then they put DMX in another movie where he was like a smart crime boss. It was DMX, Anthony Anderson.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
because Anthony Anderson's in Romeo Must Die too. But this one was DMX, Anthony Anderson, Gabrielle Union. Wasn't that one?
It's a trailer for Half Past Dead.
On the edge.
Stop the car! Oh!
I'm a kid.
Is this a buddy comedy? Seagal and Ja Rule are like the team. Is that what's going on?
Like another 48 hours.
Right.
But the fact that the opening is Ja Rule being thrown from a car at like velocity that would kill a man, and he just gets up, not even his suit out of place.
Right.
I'm gonna kick your ass.
His buttons are still buttoned. He's still, his shoes are on.
Like, they didn't even care.
No. He came out an accountant.
Flying through the air.
Yeah.
That's some dumb you at a car.
Could kick you.
Until the night.
You expected somebody?
It all went wrong.
Special Agent Williams, FBI.
It's a nice night to die.
Wait, did he just pull out two handguns on an FBI agent? Is that what's going on?
How come they always just throw a suit on any rapper and they can play a cop? Any
rule.
If you put a suit on any rapper, they can play a cop. Period.
FBI agent. Yes.
LL Cool J. Yes. Like they still.
Ice T been doing it for 35 years.
They don't have to change any of their mannerisms from being a rapper. They just get to be a cop because they put on a suit.
That's right. The move.
Expecting somebody?
It all went wrong.
Yeah, he's got like a smart suit, like a business suit on. Like
yeah. Hey, yo. I'm Detective Ja Rule.
I still got two guns in my waist behind this suit jacket.
Special Agent Williams, FBI.
It's a nice night to die.
Now, they're serving hard time.
Welcome to my island.
In the most feared prison in the country, the new Alcatraz.
What are you packing?
This.
Ooh, you want to play rough?
Wait, they went to jail together? They don't normally do that, do they? They send people to jail together.
Are they in the same? And they're in the same box?
Well, they're in the roughest prison.
They're in the same cell block together.
Not the Alcatraz.
What would I be without my inmate?
That's good.
What are you in for? I just shot an FBI agent about 100 times in a row. It's fine.
Oh, we sending you the new Alcatraz.
New Alcatraz.
Not the old one.
You done fucked up bad, boy.
We send you to the new dude.
This ain't your father's Alcatraz.
Detective Ja Rule, I sending you the new Alcatraz.
Yeah, I'm from New York. I can handle it. Detective Ja
Rule. Do they have the court case in here? Do they have the jury trial where they cut to the, like, and what's the verdict? It's murder one, murder two.
They just draw out the word murder for like 45 seconds.
Yes.
This. Ooh. You want to play rough?
Sorry, I'm not into men.
And their biggest problem isn't breaking out. It's dealing with the guys who just broke in.
It's party, boys.
All right, so Morris Chestnut broke into New Alcatraz.
He's the bad guy, yeah. He's the evil mastermind. Like,
breaking into prison, like what are they even looking for?
He has a reason.
Are the gold underneath Alcatraz, like who wrote this screenplay is what I'm saying.
Okay, I see what it is now. They went undercover in prison.
Mm.
So they didn't get sentenced to prison. They're undercover in prison.
Oh, okay. Right. All right.
And then so, they're trying to stop Morris Chestnut from getting to.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Whatever the MacGuffin is to send prison with them.
Yeah, whatever it is.
So they're like, they're drawing more because they couldn't catch Morris Chestnut. They're drawing him like as a honeypot to the prison. And he parachutes into New Alcatraz without being detected, apparently. In the rain.
It's dealing with the guys who just broke in.
It's party, boys.
All right.
Wait a second. Wait, what was that? Is that corrupt?
yeah, I think
barking.
So.
It kind of looked like corrupt there first.
I think so. It may be.
They should got the ride. Like some of the cells should have actual rappers that went to prison in them.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
See murder in here. Mystical.
Could have been in I'm trying to see what this is about now. Let it run.
Wow.
Half past dead.
It got Randolph.
You gonna be on
Tubi. I want to see what it's about. I ain't renting it, but I want to see what it's about. Later,
you gonna be on Tubi like the rest of them?
They walk past the wall, just says Snoop Dogg was here.
All on the walls.
Murder was not the case. He never went to jail.
He's America's sweetheart.
Yeah, they gonna say Martha Stewart was here.
Martha Stewart was here.
It's gonna be a sale that's decorated with plants.
Yeah, it is. It's
going to be back. I hear what he said. Roll that back. Bring it back 5 seconds and run it.
Yeah. The plot is thickening as we speak.
Okay, now run it out. Let me see what the fuck this is.
Just broke in.
It's party, boys.
All right.
I'm all right, man. We got issues.
Any words from Alcatraz?
One of the cell houses was compromised.
What? How many hostages?
I've got 10.
Who's the girl?
I'm going to dig up $200 million worth of U.S. gold brick, taking all the retirement.
Wait a minute.
What's your call?
This is like a Die Hard.
That's the girl from the FBI.
Hold on a second. Everyone, it's a triple
cross.
I
thought he
cross. Shot her. Yeah, well, you know, that's what they want you to think in a trailer. Turns out they're on right. The same side. That makes sense because they send them to jail undercover.
Oh, is that what Stop this is?
She's directing the op.
Mark, did you write this? Because somebody did say something about the bricks. A gold.
I said the gold.
I think she deputized them to go to jail and draw in Morris Chestnut, who wants gold. He's going to take over a prison to get gold.
10.
Why are you
guys there's
gold?
I'm going to dig up 200.
Like behind the gold bars.
$1 million worth of U.S. gold brick, taking early retirement.
What's your cause?
My cause is me. See, I'm sociopathic. It means I can kill everybody in this room and not feel bad about it.
What's going on?
We got a problem.
How do I look?
Like a big fat crime queen.
That's your game plan.
You watch my back.
All right, homies.
Two things can happen. You get killed or you get caught. Comprending?
Sweet dreams, partner.
Comprende this!
Here comes the soundtrack with the Ja Rule song. So,
ass dude with this gun in prison.
That's so hilarious.
So some of the other gangsters in prison are defending the jail? Against yes.
You don't come up in Alcatraz with no bullshit.
New Alcatraz. Alcatraz right name. It's the new one.
Right.
Right. It's new. This ain't old Alcatraz. We run this, new place.
This new Alcatraz.
This ain't your grandpa's Alcatraz.
Who do you think you are breaking into our house?
You're going to have to escape from these bullets.
Comprending.
Sweet dreams, partner.
Comprende this.
The inmates aren't taking any prisoners. It's Seagal.
The inmates aren't taking prisoners. So the jail fights back against Morris Chestnut, but Steven Seagal is the biggest badass in jail.
Morris Chestnut, Ja Rule, and Corrupt.
Yeah, this Corrupt.
And he didn't, so they playing his music in the background.
Is that right. DMX music? That sounded like Ja Rule music.
It's one of them music in the background, but I think DMX supposed
to... See, that's the thing about hiring a rapper. You get the soundtrack for free.
And maybe
what
he has
a Corrupt?
Maybe he had a song featuring Steven Seagal dropping a 16, hot 16 somewhere.
Hot 16 bars! Yeah.
But he was still talking like Steven Seagal in his hot 16.
He's just whispering the whole time.
All right. I'm going to mess you up, and I'm going to mess you up, too.
You want a piece of me? What you don't understand is I've been a cop for the last 20 years.
Yeah. The only bars I'm behind is these prison bars and the bars I'm dropping on this track.
Take the only gold bars I got. The gold I'm dropping on this track.
Yeah. What if the song is the plot to the movie? Like Ghostbusters 2. Hit the block, bang, and then I'm undercover. It's me and Steven. But we really didn't kill that lady. She was running the op from inside. Let's ride.
What's the matter, girl? You don't like me? Click, boom, bang. Hit the block, spit the game. Bang.
That's DMX. That's got to be. That sounds like DMX.
Maybe that is.
That's DMX music.
That's
have a
like
song
DMX.
On the soundtrack.
I heard this DMX song before in my life, though. What the fuck? Why would you even use a...
I told you because DMX was supposed to originally get the
role. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If it was DMX that was supposed to have this role, right? Mm-hmm. And you're doing a movie fucking trailer.
It had to have been.
You don't use a DMX song I've heard? that don't strike none of y'all as odd?
Look, they had a limited budget. They couldn't buy the top tier shit.
This is ridiculous. Like,
yes, give us track number 25.
Like, you don't know what a fucking deep cut that. Or a trailer.
Half Past Maybe, Dead soundtrack.
Is DMX in the movie somewhere? Does he pop
no,
up?
No, you'd already seen him in the
show. There's
trailer.
No cameo. They took down a helicopter. I'm a bang. That's a DMX song. It's on the soundtrack.
Yeah, I'm a bang.
Ass
I'm a bird.
Produced by Just Blaze.
That makes it. I was like, that sounds too much like DMX.
But it's still ridiculous they use that and not a song you that know, we know.
They may have originally made this just for them.
Maybe.
So this song, Carlton Rittenhour, is Chuck D. There's a Chuck D song on this soundtrack. I'm interested in the soundtrack. There is a Ja Rule song, Gangstified.
Right? What does the soundtrack sound like now?
Always On Time is a song that
Ja Intro Rule. Performed by Ja Rule. Bad Boys, performed by Five Giant Foot, don't know him. Push,
performed by Superhero,
don't know him.
Where's Corrupt on this soundtrack?
Name of the Game.
Right.
Performed by the Crystal Method, don't know them.
Crystal Method is like a electronic group from
Male Baby UK. Alexander, don't know him. Smart Bomb,
Hard Knocks,
performed by Hard Knocks.
Ashanti, the Pledge remix with which includes Ashanti among
she
others.
Came in
the
same
Chink Santana, that Carl's kid.
What? Who is this person?
No idea.
Murder.
It must have been one of those things where we're gonna break new artists on the soundtrack.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Ah, yeah, and the soundtrack.
That shit didn't, go anywhere.
No.
I can't believe Corrupt is not. Maybe he's featured on one of these songs. He doesn't have his own.
Well, the
song.
Better question, Rodney, is like, who directed this film? The better question is, who wrote it?
The same guy who directed it. If you go back to the
same director,
Don Michael Paul.
Don Michael Paul.
Now, why would I pay all these people when I could do it myself?
I mean, clearly from the dialogue, it wasn't considered.
Yeah, another movie he's wrote. He wrote The Scorpion King?
Also a bad movie.
Yes, it was.
Well, that's not The Scorpion King I know.
It's a different Scorpion King. It's the other Scorpion King. Still Kingin. It's a sequel.
Yeah, no, I mean, the dialogue was terrible. Comprende this.
Yeah.
There it is. Scorpion King. Oh, Book of Souls, Scorpion King.
I'm sorry, but I don't sleep with
Scorpion
men.
King 2, still Kingin.
Anytime
Death
you
Race
have
4.
Anytime
Death
you
Race
have
was
a...
actually not bad, but by Death Race 4, there's nothing left to do.
Also, Jarhead
anytime sequel. Anytime you do the line of I don't fuck guys, you ran out of ideas.
Yeah. He also wrote Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
That's his best one.
Terrible
1991.
Movie. And that's the best one. That's a terrible movie.
He's written on CSI. Yeah, he's worked steadily. Give him that.
He's doing better than me. So far be it for me to talk shit.
Well, you don't have lines like I don't fuck guys.
Yeah, wouldn't occur to me to write that line. Maybe that's a problem.
Yeah, maybe that's a
classic
issue.
Hey, I'm with the FBI, female body inspectors. You know what I'm talking about?
Step your game up, Randolph. Be more creative. Yeah,
maybe that's the problem. I'm the one.
What if all the lines are vaguely homoerotic like that? every scene ends with Steven Seagal being like, I hope you don't think I'm gonna suck your dick.
You know, it's not hard to kill that pussy.
Yeah.
Is that Danny Glover in that third picture?
Did he direct Danny Glover and something? He probably did, yeah. Death Race 4. That's what he was
saying. Imagine if you're Danny Glover and you're listening to this guy try to give you direction. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Now, Mr. Anytime Glover, remember, tell him you're not gay. Remember when the camera pans to you, say I'm not gay.
Anytime there's a movie title that's recognizable and then they put a colon after it, it's
yeah. Well, he's got a few of those. He's got Jarhead, Law of Return. There was another Jarhead. Death Race 4, Scorpion King, Book of Souls. That's his thing. He
likes to colonize popular movies.
It's like a player who comes in only during like blowouts, you know, the mop-up duty. It's like that kind of thing. And he had a long stretch where he didn't. Oh, this is his acting credits. He's also an actor.
He went from acting to writing?
He's done all the above.
Here's his writer credits. Let me see what those are.
It's going to exit out. Hold on, let me go to the writers. Is it? There it is. Previous writing credits.
Okay. Tremors. It's a lot of second shit of movies that don't need a
Tremors,
second part. You know what
colon,
I mean?
Shrieker Tremors, Island.
Jarhead, colon, law.
Yeah, a lot of second movies.
Oh, he got some up. He got two upcoming.
Two's Sniper Legacy.
But he wrote Who's Your Caddy? What?
Did you write Who's Your Caddy? Where'd you see that at?
That's the biggest thing on it. 2007. Who's Your Caddy?
Who's Your Caddy?
What?
He wrote the TV series of Magnificent Seven. It stinks.
He wrote one episode.
Yeah. But hold up. Who's Your Caddy is the black, like Outcast.
Yeah. Big Boy. I know Big Boy's in. I don't know if but I know Big Boy's in that.
Lil Wayne, Andy Milonakis, Faison Love, Terry Crews, Tony Cox.
The other guy.
He co-wrote with two other people.
He killed the guy.
he's got a pretty nice career going. Someone's got to make the
like
B-movies.
I said, he's I can't really talk shit too much. And of course, Harley Davidson and the Marble Man.
That's where he started. That was his first credit. That's probably Silk Stockings was one of those like late night Showtime shows,
yeah,
right?
TV series. Yeah, it was Women Detectives, I believe.
Okay.
Silk Stockings. Yeah.
Hey, Andy, the two up top, when they coming out? 2025?
It just says, well, Downforce is pre-production, so probably, yeah, at least 2025. Yeah,
2025. He's working. That means he's working now.
Finding Faith is in post-production, so we'll see that. It's probably about a woman named Faith.
Yeah.
That's what I'm assuming. Like, that's the play on words on the title, Finding Faith.
Oh, coming to Netflix near you soon?
Yeah, something like that. He wrote it. He didn't direct it.
You know how fast me and Rod would take a Netflix movie? Offer me a Netflix deal. Are you kidding?
Let's see.
Take that shit.
I don't recognize anybody's name. So
no, none of these actors.
Yeah, well, he stays working. You don't have to know them all.
Yeah.
Last movie I was in came out a long time ago.
Wow, Jesus.
So, yeah, good for him, I guess.
He is working.
Don okay. Michael Paul.
Anybody watching Beef? Speaking of Netflix.
Never.
Beef? Not yet. No.
I watched the first episode last night. It's a lot.
I haven't even heard of it.
Right? I'm going Beef. Beef what? Beef
it's
who?
About,
who
it's beef? About street beefs. Well, not so much a street beef. It's like... just these two people get it, have a road rage incident, and it just spirals out from there.
Okay.
Ali Wong and this other cat.
Steven Yeun?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at it now. Beef is an American comedy drama.
Yeah.
That's Ali Wong, so.
I ain't seen a lot of comedy in it yet, by the way, but okay.
Well, mostly drama.
Oh, that's a Glenn from The Walking Dead in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dramedy.
I haven't seen it. Is that it just came out April 6th. It literally just came out 2 days ago.
Yeah, there's some dark shit in it already, and it even got started good.
Genre is also called tragic comedy. So dark comedy, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Art is good. I'm gonna check it out.
Comedy.
Just mesh them together.
Tragedy. Yeah. Well, let's get the listener comments.
Dramedy is a thing. I just ain't seen it in this yet.
We missed listener comments last week.
Yeah. Let's get to those.
And there was one that I missed the week before.
A lot of times they be saying shit is dark comedy that don't be funny.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't know if this is supposed to be funny or not.
It's so dark, it's not even funny.
I don't know if I would put a lot of jokes in it, tell you the truth.
I think it's because the awards put shit in comedy that ain't supposed to be in there.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
So we got a comment a couple weeks ago from Raphael, which we forgot to get to last time.
Is she funny, Ashley? No, Ashley's asking, is Ashley funny in this? Not yet. She's compelling, though. You'll watch. Believe that. You'll watch. But no, not yet.
He left a comment wrote it. Saying, I was eager to see them monkey videos that Andy had been postponing. Then I saw this guy, and just knew the 3GO gang would appreciate what I saw, especially Period Power, Mike B, if he's here. Now, Mike B is not here.
Him this week.
but he sent us a link to something on Instagram called Official Ice Cream Taster. John Harrison puts his skills to the test, 1991. That doesn't have anything to do with monkeys. So I don't know what Raphael's trying to get us into here.
A monkey going to test the ice cream? What's happening here?
Official Ice Cream Taster John Harrison puts his skills to the test, 1991. I'm going to refresh it. I didn't know you had to have skills to taste ice cream, but apparently that's a thing.
What we do is take a small amount right off the top. It doesn't take much. That's the warmest part right here. I'm going to invert the spoon.
What?
Cover all 9,000 taste buds. Aerate it. Warm it up. Driving up that top note. That cream. Pure vanilla.
Sweetener. What the fuck's going on?
He's doing a taste test, Andy. Quit hating.
That's the whole video.
No. That's gonna be my new thing. Now land your back, girl. Arch your back. I'm gonna dig my face in here. No.
Yeah, turn it upside down.
Aerate.
Get those top notes.
There's a guy that works for
Okay, let's try this in another position. Let me lay on my back. Now sit down. Aerate. Here we go.
Guy in Jamaica that works for Blue Mountain Coffee, that he's their official taster, and he does shit like that.
So like, maybe that enhances the taste. Like
move it around.
I feel like if you're going to be an official taster, you should taste it the way everyone else eats it.
I saw a Twitter thread. This has got Archer back. It's got me thinking now. It's taste. I saw a thread said where a guy said if it wasn't that going down on women was gay, was letting a woman sit on your face was gay.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, it's a power thing? Is this the power dynamic situation?
I'm like, is it or am I just lazy?
Yeah.
or am I just lazy? You know, there's a lot of hip grinding that a woman can get. Never mind. Never mind.
Because you're now beneath the woman. You're subservient to her. She's calling shots.
Yeah, because I don't have the physical strength to stop this. Oh, never mind.
There's way too much stuff that a man does by himself or with a woman that people think is gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it don't make sense.
That doesn't seem like that's how being gay works at all.
I mean, literally, guys are describing having sex with a woman and wondering if it's gay.
If that particular sexual activity is gay, I'm like, I wouldn't think so.
You have grown men that won't even get their prostate checked because they think it's gay. It was like, nigga, that's your
body. And that is square business. And
they tied sexuality.
I'm here to tell you, go and get it checked.
It takes a second.
Go and get it checked. Trust me.
If a dude is so against getting his prostate checked, then we don't need his bloodline in the world anymore.
I mean, that's just happened to be where it is. And that's how funny. And I've been looking like, do you think women want to go get checked every year? You think I want them cracking me open and sticking shit in me? No, I have to.
There's no toxic.
Because you're a woman, and that's why. Because you're a woman, and that's why. But I'm a man, so I don't know.
No,
it's toxic, and your friends might tease you and say, "Oh, you liked it. You liked it, didn't you?"
Nice,
you
let me get this straight. I'm laying on my back, right, in the resting position.
Yeah.
so I'm at rest here. All I got to do is just move my mouth. All I can do is move my mouth. I'm supposed to have a problem with that? Okay.
Well, first of all, if you're resting, you're not grinding. Hashtag grinding. Hustle culture. That's for men.
How dare you let her take control and lead the dance?
Right. Guys, is it gay to have sex with a woman?
That's coming.
That's basically what that is.
There's no way that can't not be coming. A man using an umbrella is gay. That's an old one to me. I've seen that before.
Bill Burr had a great bit about that.
Yeah.
What are you gay? Put your shoulders up.
Keith Blair left a comment. We went to Chuck E. Cheese's a few weeks ago, and 2 days
Keith,
later.
That's pretty black, Keith, putting S on that.
Okay, Jesus.
Chuck E. Cheese's. Very black, Keith. Been hanging around us a little bit too much.
Chuck E. Cheese's.
We went to Chuck E. Cheese's a few weeks ago, and 2 days later, I got COVID. Coincidence? I think not.
No, that's a fucking 2 weeks is a long time though. So it's a pit.
I remember our
it's probably COVID on the menu, like not for sale, but literally on the menu.
I had a baseball coach, Little League baseball coach, big fat Mexican dude, but he used to call it Chunkin' Cheeses.
Chunkin' Cheeses.
Yeah, we're gonna go Chunkin' Cheeses after the game.
Close enough.
You're like, okay.
Jonathan commented this from a couple weeks ago. He said, you can join AARP early. I signed up at 46.
Yeah, but did you go get your prostate checked?
I didn't join gay AARP, so.
I mean, I might go sign up. Give me some of them discounts. I'm tired of paying full price.
Is there a minimum? We didn't look for that. Is there like a minimum age where you, if you're a certain age, you can't join yet because you're too young?
I don't think they do have a minimum age.
Man, they just want them dues. Thank you, yeah. Doc. Doc is saying that you can join at 18.
18.
So they just want them dues.
Raphael commented.
Like it's the old people then.
Yes, it's that whole retired people thing in the title. Just call it a discount. Just highlight the discounts. I could have used some discounts when I was 18. I didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
10% off at Outback. I would have gone for that.
Yes.
Raphael left a comment. After finally meeting HBO's own legendary Rod Morrow.
There you go.
I was inspired and the fire was rekindled. Animals reports are back. Plus, I got tired of waiting for Andy's monkey stories. So I decided we did the monkey story when the baboons broke a guy's leg. So I decided to do like Kang would, not 616, though. I believe that an innocent monkey got murdered. Why didn't she smile? And he linked an article.
Oh, no.
And I don't know if there's a pet monkey shot dead after attacking woman, ripping her ear in half. What? This is not a chimp. I don't think this is an actual monkey story. A monkey that attacked a woman in her front yard, pulling out her hair and ripping her ear in half, has been shot dead by a family member. The woman, Brittany Parker, was in her house in Dixon, Oklahoma, when she spotted a monkey on her porch attempting to get inside the house. She called the police when the monkey became aggressive, the animal ripping off part of her door. Jesus. As she attempted to keep it out. By the time police arrived, the monkey had calmed down. So Parker left the house to greet the officers. Suddenly, the monkey attacked. He hadn't calmed down after all. Is that him? Oh, that's a stock image. Okay. He jumped up on my back and landed on my head. Parker told Look News Channel KOKH. He started grabbing handfuls of hair and just ripped it out. He ripped my ear almost completely off my head. Yeah, World Health Organization data shows that monkey bites make up between 2 and 21% of animal bite injuries, but monkeys usually only attack when they feel threatened or misread body language or facial expressions. Well, they wouldn't attack Schwarzenegger then because he had no facial expressions. Captive primates have been responsible for one death and for injuring more than 280 people since 1990. As we were looking for the primate, two shots were fired, Dixon Police Chief Tim Duncan told KOKH. Tim
Duncan's a police chief now?
He made it the chief already. The shots came from the area of the victim's residence. Officers went back to the house and found that a family member of the victim shot and killed the primate. Go God get my gun. Right. Parker was taken to Mercy Hospital. She needed plastic surgery. The monkey was said by residents to be a pet of a neighbor. One local uploaded a video of the monkey on their porch to TikTok. Oh, is it not going to come up?
Probably not.
Dead link. Yeah, it's not going to come up. Which shows the monkey lunging at them as they open the door. In a follow-up video, the man shows the police at the scene and described how the monkey had bitten off some woman's ear. There's the video.
There it is.
On my front porch, I just fed him my orange. It's a goddamn monkey. What's a monkey doing in Oklahoma? Little dragon. Dragon's like, what the hell is that?
Okay, I was wondering if it was a monkey.
In Oklahoma.
Are these the same guys that made a video about the balloon that got shot down?
God dang monkey. Hope he don't come over and take Dragon.
God dang monkey. Oh,
Dragon, get back. Out, Dragon.
Yeah,
out.
What? Oh, shit. Okay. The monkey's playing the long game here. He wants to get in the door. They won't let him in. There's a cat on the lawn. The monkey acts like he's going toward the cat. When they open the door, he sprints back to the door. That's what's going on.
You ain't gonna believe this what? Shit.
That
on my front porch, I just fed him an orange. It's a goddamn monkey.
He fed him an orange. Why'd you give him an orange?
Yeah, don't give him none. Don't give him food, man.
I just fed him an orange, patted him on the head, scratched his belly a little bit,
told him I loved him a little bit.
Right? I said, why I can't pet you too much. This might be gay. I don't want to do that.
One day we
went to
the podcast. The cat stared at her, and we just let that cat stare. Stay outside.
Yep. Just let the cat. You don't want to provoke these things.
Doing in Oklahoma, little dragon. Dragon's like, what the hell is that? Look at that in Oklahoma. I got a dang monkey. Hope he don't come over and take Dragon.
I know. Oh,
Dragon.
Dragon is the cat.
Get back out, Dragon. Out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was like, oh, they're gonna open up the door. Oh, that's the pet.
Right. The monkeys pulled the old okie doke. Pet monkeys are legal in Oklahoma with no permits required to keep one as a pet in the state because primates are classified as domesticated animals. What?
When did they become domesticated?
Something that can pull your fucking ear off? What? Yeah.
At least
cats and dogs don't have like fingers. They got paws.
Right. They don't rip your face off.
I don't think they're domesticated.
No.
No.
I mean, it's Oklahoma.
Break your bones? No, thank you.
I mean, because like a chimp would literally just rip your face off and your genitals, by the way.
Yeah.
And a male chimp touching your genitals, a little gay.
A little gay. Going to jerk you off with his feet. Chimp jerk me off with his feet.
Other species classified as domesticated in Oklahoma and therefore available to own without a permit include zebras, kangaroos, and camels. What is going on in Oklahoma?
How?
White folks.
I'm about to say, white people pass them rules. That don't make no
white
sense.
White folks and rappers.
These need to be in the zoo.
I think there needs to be some type of law that says you need to have some kind of training as well as certificate to even hold these types of animals, Parker told local news.
Right.
She's also fearful for the safety of her own children. My son loves to play outside. Do I let my child go outside and play? Do I worry every time we step outside if we're going to be attacked by something? It's very traumatizing.
Well, then you better not go to Australia.
Yeah, I mean, Australia has, but you know what you're getting into in Australia. Oklahoma, zebra might walk by and just kick you in the face. Who knows? We got a comment from... Well, Dominique left a comment this morning when I put up the link that we're starting at 12:30. She said, okay, 12:30 for real or 12:30 3GO time, which is like 12:45-ish. It was like 12:35. We're getting better.
Oh, shit now.
And then Stefan sent us an email. The intoxication of performative...
Scary TPS Australia. Some shit out there that'll kill you.
Yeah.
Everything in Australia is trying to kill you.
Someone tweeted a thing about platypuses today, or not today, this week. They have venom.
They have a claw on their back.
Their venom is so intensely painful that you might lose consciousness. And opioids and morphine do not stop the pain, and it can last weeks or months. And it can make you sensitive to other pain throughout the rest of your life. It just makes your body more sensitive to pain.
Yeah, leave platypuses alone.
It's not deadly. It doesn't kill you. It just fucks you up. Yeah, the back legs have like a claw on it.
Yeah, that's a sign for other animals. They see, you know, they see Billy not acting right. Don't fuck with them.
Yeah.
The transgender beaver duck.
Platypus venom.
Or is it gay, y'all? Is it gay?
Is it gay?
Is it gay to get stung by a platypus? I think the male platypi have the venom, and I think they produce it more during like mating season or something to ward off their rivals, I guess. But yeah, I read a whole thing about the effects of platypus venom. It fucks you up for a long time. Stefan's email is called The Intoxication of Performative Impartiality. Hat tip to Rodimus Prime. News anchors and their political pundits like the illusion of believing in the best of sickos like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Nikki Haley, no matter their constant fuck-ups. At first, I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt when I wanted to be one a decade ago. I have a bachelor's in the field, but it never went further than that. A mix of fear and doubt admittedly played a role on my end. Eventually, when you see them say it's both sides, even if you have, say, a David Zaslav of WB Discovery trying to make CNN a more bipartisan platform by putting more conservatives on the rotation, the jig is up. Really been up. If you've seen how reporters handle a Democrat versus a Republican for the last 40 plus years, I do fear if the right plays a role, yet I don't think that should matter anymore. Carrying water is carrying water. The U.S. media loves this shit regardless. Doing the right thing isn't good business, so they circle the wagons about these people. They want to believe in the goodness of these assholes. I think they're good, upstanding reporters who aren't willing to fall on the sword for shareholders and CEOs at these new corporations. However, whether they're willing to or not, people got to start talking shit about this. This both sides stuff has percolated in sports, entertainment, science, etc., leading to some dishonest, disingenuous commentary. Either you are useful or not. If you're not, you automatically believe this dumb shit. We can't wait for these so-called upstanding reporters to come to senses. Been too long at this point. Randolph, when you discussed this with that reporter about Marjorie, with the person willing to do it with no questions asked, I felt that. I don't want to say the person's a lemming, but they're exhibiting that behavior that is the press in the place that it's in. It's cost us in the long run with no end in sight. Take it easy, y'all. And we were talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene on 60 Minutes last week.
Yeah, and I believe it has. I believe it's cost us a lot. That's not the first time we've seen that an article, a report like that. It ain't gonna be the last, and it's a problem. Journalists have a thing where they believe that they are. Many journalists believe that. I am impartial because I'm a journalist, and I'm saying, but there's no such thing as impartiality. It's just not. It's
you're human.
You're impartial where you're impartial is in your reporting. The actual reporting that you do should just be facts-based and shouldn't be just lies. But you also, if you're presenting both sides of something, you're not showing impartiality. Truth doesn't have a both sides.
Right.
Truth doesn't have a both sides. I don't need to show this other side. I don't need to show that. Why would I show that? It's not true. If Marjorie Taylor Greene says Republicans or Democrats are pedophiles, why would I need to show that? Why do I need to mainstream that and put it on there so people can know that she says that? Okay, then what? What do these people now, these people that now know that she's think this, now what? What does that mean? Are people now going to suddenly, are her constituents now going to suddenly not vote for her?
It's also, there's no judgment on her saying that. It's just, we're just bringing you what she said. And if that's the case, then aren't you just like a jukebox? Like, what is your job then? To just take what people say and repeat it back in your outlet, your station or whatever, your paper. There's no judgment of it. There's no context of it. Leslie Stahl just said, wow, when Marjorie Taylor Greene said Democrats are pedophiles.
But then I watched a Morning Joe where Mika was just defending her. She's great, and this has to be done, and these things have to be said. I'm like, well, no, actually, no. Because other reporters were like, what the fuck is this? There was a lot of reporters who came out and said that, you know.
It's very frustrating because it all boils down to this. Whenever, like, particularly your local news and some of your national news, whenever it came to we're just not reporting the facts to now we have to be responsible for shareholders, now we have to be responsible for viewers and clicks, now we have to be responsible. You know, the internet came along, it changed the game. And so now they do this shit just to keep as many viewers clicking and engaging as possible, which means you do this shit because this is the shit that sells. This is the shit that keeps eyes. This is the shit that keeps your money flowing and going and all this stuff. And so when you do this, for a lot of them, it's truth be damned.
Yeah, and they don't, that's the thing. Truth also turns out is not the number one motivator. It's just engagement. You know, and so if you can obscure the truth a little bit, you can give some truth, but you want to give both sides, or you want to use anger to drive engagement because you're profit based and all that, then you know that's what you do. And I guess on some level, you got to make money to stay in business. But yeah, it's too often just like seems like a cop out to just say, well, I can't say what I feel about this. I'm just going to say what they feel and repeat it and leave it at that. And that's me being impartial and a good journalist. You know, at some point you got to tell the truth. If the truth it goes in the, against
speaking of truth, think about this. Okay. So this gentleman's name is Jonah Goldberg. He's the editor in chief of the Dispatch. He's a Los Angeles Times columnist, an AEI fellow. I don't know what AEI is. And he's the host of the Remnant podcast. Okay. So here's what he has to say about that Harlan Crow's garden. Andy told us what's in his garden. Statues of
Stalin, Lenin.
And I'm being generous. Dictators. It's not a tribute to evil or something to be mocked. It's an attempt to commemorate the horrors of the 20th century in the spirit of never again. Harlan Crow is a deeply honorable, decent, and patriotic person. He's not the straw man Thomas Hedges are trying to make him to be.
Yeah.
But these statues aren't available publicly. It's not even like the Civil War statues where they say, we're trying to teach you about our history. It's just at his house. Right? Like, can we buy a ticket?
Remember, now he's the editor in chief of the Dispatch, and he's a Los Angeles Times columnist. Here's a retweet he did, a Wall Street Journal opinion column, the smearing of Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas is smearing himself.
Yeah, Harlan Crow. I don't think you can. I know he has, there's like pictures of these statues of like Stalin and Lenin and all that stuff. I don't know what.
Any excuse, bro. But
my point is, if this was at the Smithsonian or something, like what is the value in having it just on some private property that I guess people can visit, or some people, maybe your friends can visit? What's the point of that? Why are you commemorating atrocities?
Not even the people who committed the atrocities. Because if I'll put these people's statues up to say that never again will we do this.
I mean, if a statue has historical significance, this used to sit in Red Square, you know, like, okay. But again, that's for a museum. That's not for your house.
But he's not the bad guy they make him out to be.
Right. He has a big library and a.
Right.
It's just a weird thing to collect. That's all.
You ask the people to,
and it's only the bad stuff that he's collecting. What about the other side?
What about the people, the victims, and none of that shit though, right?
Aren't you collecting their shit? Yeah,
he has an autographed copy of Mein Kampf.
of course he does. Of course he does.
He built a huge library. It's a gigantic library that has all these books, and I'm sure some of them are historically significant because look at how many there are. But again, it's like, why your house? Why are you the guy doing this? What is your interest in it? Library itself built near the Crow home 4 years ago. It's near his house. It's a perfect realization of a rich man's library. Two-story wooden columns, alcoves and shelves filled with custom bound materials, statuary and historical materials. I would not have been surprised to see Bruce Wayne walk in, clutching a cocktail in one hand, deftly closing the secret entrance to the Batcave with his other. I saw no comic books, actually, nor did I see the Stradivarius. I guess he has a Stradivarius. It was on loan for the evening. But the librarian, Sam Ford, did show me a letter, the letter Harry Truman wrote to Washington Post critic Paul Hume, who had disdained daughter Margaret's singing. Okay, so he has a lot of historically significant artifacts. This is a column from Dallas Morning News. From a few years ago.
here's a comment, Andy. So like a Nazi to invite a black man married to a white woman onto his super yacht to have the soup into his vacation home. Like, because, you know, Nazis didn't hang around with anybody because racist people never had black friends. That's not a thing. Jesus. Do we have any more emails?
That's all the emails. Let me see if we have any like YouTube comments. I don't think we did.
Rod, what did you think of Mandalorian?
I'm one episode behind.
Oh, y'all haven't seen that. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, that's all the comments we got. We did get a tweet, though.
Never mind.
Let me see if I can find the tweet. I know we got it. From...
It's not fault. Blame me. I'm sorry, Randolph.
Yeah, the last one I saw was Tim Meadows made a cameo.
That was good. That was a good one. You need to see this one. I saw you commenting on it. That's why I was like, Rob Mustaine. Now I'm thinking about it. People were saying I saw
an article where IGN just the headline of it. I didn't read the whole article.
When you see the episode, you're really going to be like, what the fuck? the episode was right in line with your comment.
Yeah, the article was talking about more than just the last episode. It was like the show has something like it's lost its purpose or it's still struggling to find its purpose. It's fun, but it's struggling to find a purpose. And I was like, what if the purpose is fun?
Right.
Like, why are we taking kids' toys this goddamn serious? you think when George Lucas came up with the Ewoks, he was thinking about something other than fun? He was like, what is the purpose of these little adorable Care Bears? Like, nah, he was thinking of fun. Sometimes it's just fun.
Wait till you see it. When you see this episode, you'll see why your comment was right in line with this episode. Which is why I thought you saw the episode. I was like, oh, he must have seen it.
I'm just pressing it like that.
But I watched it. Of course. We came home. I watched it Wednesday night with Ava, Thursday with Ava.
I saw the trailer for Ahsoka. That was dope.
I haven't seen the trailer yet. I saw the poster, but I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Yeah,
what was that meat tree, Andy? What the fuck was that?
Dominic.
Carrie, you all right? What you doing, Carrie? I see you moving the steering wheel. And
he just ran over some people. It's fine. No, we didn't see it.
I know. It looked like he just left a Buc-ee's. What's happening, sir? Yeah.
Backing into a Buc-ee's. Dominic sent us a tweet. In case fans of our Liver King episode, I guess this is from like some show episode, need to see this. Here's the horrible meat Christmas tree his chef made and quietly threw out. This is the Liver King's meat Christmas tree.
Oh, that's right. That's that dude to be eating all that raw shit.
Yeah. Yeah, these are all like livers and lungs and
supposedly. I'm not even sure he eats it raw.
We don't even know. Yeah, we don't even know if he does that. Like
a fraud. I wouldn't be surprised you walked in this house, he had a grill.
Yeah. Cooking it.
Looks like slabs of meat. And there's all these cows in the background.
Dominic say eating Chick-fil-A. Eating Chick-fil-A.
And then there's a stomach, livers, and then it's held together with intestine.
What's the smell like in this guy's
house? Yeah, I was like, I bet it smells horrible in there.
Gross.
Do you like put this thing on a fire pit and just let it cook? Like, how do you deal with this?
They're like butt cheeks.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's enormous, but it's pretty good size. Hey, welcome to Liver King Christmas. Imagine going to that guy's house for Christmas. He just hacks off a hunk of his tree and hands it to you.
I walk in now. I'm immediately walking out. Fuck that.
You hungry? He's decorating it with like bull's testicles for the bulbs. You know what I mean? Come on in. Christmas time. It's Liver King.
No, thank you.
Oh, man. You know how much it must
get that shit off. Get that shit off, man. Jesus Christ.
You know how much it must suck when this motherfucker hosts an event in his house?
Right.
Well, if he's hosting an event, it's people who want to get down with that bullshit. So.
I'm saying, like, if you just his family member, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have a choice because you his brother.
They were like, is it his year?
I think I want to do Thanksgiving down my house. Nigga, I'm not eating raw turkey.
Unless you're his wife or child, you got a choice.
I ain't saying you ain't got a choice.
I ain't coming to your house this year, Thomas.
Right, I ain't saying you ain't coming.
Why ain't you coming?
He's got to suck,
fucking weirdo.
Or just even being his kids, where he's like, "Hey, kids, we got company coming over. Put on your loincloths. We got to look the part." You know.
Yeah. Imagine he coming down your house. You know what I mean, for Thanksgiving. Yeah. Y'all gonna have any raw dishes? No.
Bring your own food. Ain't nobody want that bullshit.
We got some vegan dishes. You can eat some of these vegan dishes if you want that.
Right. What's on the menu? Oh, real food? Nah, we'll stop somewhere first.
Stop y'all cooked the turkey?
Sure okay. did.
Here we go with the bullshit.
Why y'all got an open flame? Because we cooked shit.
Right.
That's fine. Well, it's fine. We'll eat. It's fine. We'll have it. It's okay.
You know what? Maybe I could nibble around. You got what a part of the turkey you threw away? The part on the inside. What you do with that? Threw that in the trash?
This. Has anyone, the cavities.
What'd you do with the giblets?
Anyone called dibs on the carcass?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You can have it.
Can we have the carcass?
We can suck on the wishbone.
Oh, yeah. Y'all know what? When everybody else doing their to-go plates, that's what they going. They was like, oh, yeah, give me that neck bone. No, I want the neck bone, not the meat. You can take the meat off.
Take the meat off. I just want the bone.
Right? Everybody's going, why is your garbage bag full of bones?
They just, when they mama call home and be like, take the chicken out and unthaw it, that's all you need to do.
Right.
She's not actually going to have to do nothing else with that, but get it out the
shit ain't steep.
Get it out the sink.
Ooh, ain't got no salt, pepper, nothing.
God, he takes his plate that he takes home is just in a hefty bag. He just drags that shit.
I'm just waiting for him to get caught in Burger King. It's going to happen.
He's already been caught with. He's already been caught with steroids and surgery. So
yeah, I'm waiting for this motherfucker to get caught at Olive Garden so we can go ahead and just fully. We could fully just admit that this is a grift, guys.
I like my pasta raw. Just give me some flour and eggs.
Right. This motherfucker got he got ab surgery and shit.
He got implants in his ass.
Shakira Richardson won another race. She's out there racing.
Everything. I guess everything could be an implant nowadays, apparently.
Yeah, you can get a six-pack. You can literally get a six-pack implant.
Yeah. What a fake ass.
Calves,
yeah. The chest.
Wow.
The pecs.
Yeah, what happened to Shane, man?
Okay, so here's a little bit. Harlan Crow made a $500,000 contribution to Jenny Thomas's Library Central.
He likes libraries.
Which in turn paid her $120,000 a year salary. Clarence Thomas failed to disclose his wife's income during this period, and the sources of Liberty's funds were not publicly disclosed. It's called Liberty Central. Excuse me. I said Library Central. Liberty Central.
Oh.
The source of Liberty's funds were not publicly disclosed. So people are digging now. You're going to find more and more stuff. I mean, he's known this guy for how many years now?
Yeah. And the rest of them are scared. They've been doing bullshit like this.
He donated $150,000 to build a new wing named for Thomas on a Savannah, Georgia library that Clarence Thomas visited frequently in his youth.
Clarence Thomas is going to show up to the Supreme Court wearing sweatpants and a Casio watch. Like, I don't have any nice things. What are you talking about? This is what I meant. I shop at Walmart. What do you think? Hang around the parking lot, beg for food.
He's going to show up with Bucky's beef jerky.
All right, I got a whole bunch of Bucky. You guys want some Bucky's?
Wall Street Journal has called out ProPublica for deploying harmful wealthiest language. I don't even know wealthiest is a thing. Harmful wealthiest language against plus-size yachts. The piece is loaded with words and phrases intended to convey that all this is somehow disreputable. Super yacht, luxury trips, exclusive California all-male retreats, sprawling ranch, private chefs, elegant accommodations, opulent lodge, lavishing the justice with gifts and more. They are really tying themselves up in knots to make this shit okay.
Hey guys, are all male retreats, are they gay?
Yeah.
Are they gay guys?
That's a very GOP thing.
Is this from The Onion?
It sounds real. What I mean, is it an article making fun of the Wall Street Journal?
No, the Wall Street Journal is calling out ProPublica because they're saying that the piece ProPublica wrote was using language that was a harmful wealthiest. So basically, I don't know, harmful to the wealthy.
This is my problem with online activism, right? Because we let the recipes get loose.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers is following the blueprint and they on the wrong side of shit. They out here like, put an IST on the end of it, make it racist. Like, yeah, that's not the same thing.
Let me make sure you're saying it right. Wealthiest.
Yeah.
So like you just said, wealthiest on the end of anything and it becomes bad.
Yeah, I'm talking about this rampant wealthism, you know?
Right. Wealthism is what, like, that's supposed to be like what Bill Gates says to Elon Musk now. You know what I mean? Like, bitch, I'm the wealthiest.
Right. This is the term.
$24 million on you broke motherfucker. That's why I'm the wealthiest. You broke ass. Like, think about it. When someone's poor, you're the poorest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like you can't turn it into like a fucking cause. That's some bullshit, man.
I think the guy who tweeted it is using that word kind of tongue in cheek.
But look at the dude down here. No, that's whoever wrote it in the Wall Street Journal. The piece is loaded with. But look at the dude. Look at the comment he put up. He's obviously for this, by the way. It's this Tom Gara person. Look at his comment down there.
Now, Tom Gara writes for BuzzFeed, Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
FT, whatever.
Luxury trips is such a vile way to smear people experiencing wealth for simply practicing self-care. Now, that could be a diss tweet. Or that could be legitimate. We don't know. Molly Jeong is laughing out loud. So obviously she thinks it's a diss tweet.
So I don't know. I don't know Tom Gar. I feel like I've heard that name. Yeah. But I don't know what he's all about. I know he's followed by people on the left. Chris Hayes, Rachel Maddow, yeah. Adam Serwer.
So that would, if Adam Serwer's following him, then you would, unless they're hate following him, which I doubt all of them are hate following him. That doesn't make sense.
I think he's being sarcastic when he says wealthist language. But if you Google the word wealthist, it does come up as a slur, basically. A wealthist is someone who discriminates against people because they're wealthy or something like that. But
yeah, those poor wealthy people deserve to be taken care of.
But I think he's making fun of the. But the article he quotes it saying, you know, it's using terms like super yacht luxury trips. That's the article. That's the Wall Street Journal saying that to make it look bad. How dare they use terms like luxury trips and super yachts,
sprawling ranch, private chefs, elegant accommodation. You mean all those things that they are?
Yeah.
You mean the things that they're actually doing?
Yeah, I don't know this. I feel like I know this Tom Gar somewhere.
Shout out to Kirby Jones Dom for sending me this. Pioneering Black animator Leo D. Sullivan died at 82. Sullivan, who also worked on the Soul Train opening segment. That's how you had me right there, but you didn't have to tell me everything else. Contributed to many other cartoons, including the Flintstones, Scooby-Doo, He-Man, the Transformers, and the Super Friends.
At a list.
Yeah. All I needed here was a Soul Train opening. I'm like,
Rest in power, King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Dom. You know me. Yeah. He looks good. He looked hale and well too in this picture. He had his hat on, gray beard. I'm trying to get on your level, sir. Trying to get on your level. Icons we don't even know about. That's the only reason I'm watching Picard, so I can see some good looking black people on screen.
Is that where they are? They're on Picard.
LeVar Burton. LeVar Burton is out there with his gray beard.
His daughter's on the show too.
Worf, his daughter's on there with him. And the girl, and there's another girl playing his other daughter. He on the show, his character has two daughters. These two girls, one of his daughters is playing his daughter. And then there's another little girl over there.
What's funny is that I don't know if they've alluded this on Picard, but in The Next Generation, he supposedly married, and my nerd is going where real nerdy. He supposedly married Leah Brahms, who was the woman that designed the Enterprise's Worf engines.
Well, that was the one he was supposed to have been had an affair with, and found out she was married later, and blah blah blah.
Right, right. Well, later on,
woman.
Yeah, later on in the show, they alluded to that she divorced her husband and then her and Geordi got married.
Well, not looking at these children, they didn't.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, so, whose children are these? Because
not looking at these children, they didn't.
That was a fat woman.
Not looking at these children.
I'm like, I don't know if Jordy's genes are that strong.
Kuntus. He's got a bone to pick. I'll see what I did there. See what I did there. Let's bring this one home, y'all. We've been doing this for a minute. Y'all got to hear our thoughts on Arnold Schwarzenegger and all kinds of shit.
Ja Rule.
Ja Rule, oh my God.
That's Detective Ja Rule to you.
We were just, and somebody asked earlier in the thread, I'm convinced that there is a documentary on the voice guy. The guy who did One Man, One Way.
And there's been reports. I mean, he died a few years back. There's been stuff. If you look on YouTube, there's been like stories on him from back when he was alive.
Pablo Fesco built his career off that dude.
Yeah.
One Man.
Isn't his daughter like Lake Bell or something?
Is she?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Just Google Lake Bell dad. If it is, it'll come right up. Yeah. In a world.
Yeah.
One man.
We lost some icons because it was like for decades, that was the voice. Like if you heard that, you go, oh, y'all spent money and this movie gonna be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don LaFontaine is the movie guy.
Okay.
He's also known as his nickname was Thunderthroat and also the voice of God. All right. I feel like the voice of God.
Throat. That sounds like a porn name.
That sounds gay to me. That sounds gay.
Guys, is it gay to be called Thunderthroat?
Thunderthroat. Is that a stripper's name or porn name? YouTube.
Thunderthroat. And also the voice of God. And the king of movie trailers became known to the wider audience through commercials for Geico Insurance and the Mega Millions lottery game. This is him. He died in 2008 at age 68. And yeah, I don't see anything
dude,
about
but it ain't the same.
68. What?
Yeah, the other dude, the dude that got replacing him, it ain't the same. It don't hit the same. Like,
what did he die of at 68?
They don't even do trailers like that anymore.
Yeah, they really
I would
don't.
Imagine
he had an embolism. Oh, that's too bad.
I would imagine he died of lung cancer.
No, it said he had a pulmonary embolism, which might be something to do with, let me see, pulmonary.
Well, he's a longtime smoker, was admitted to Cedar Sinai in Los Angeles with a pulmonary embolism.
Yeah, you called it right.
Critical condition the following Tuesday. His family made a public appeal for prayers. September 1st, 08, 6 days after his 68th birthday, 10 days after hospitalization, died following complications from pneumothorax. Abdominal collection of air in the pleural space between the lung and the chest wall.
Oof.
Symptoms typically include sudden onset of sharp one-sided chest pain and shortness of breath.
Oh, no. They did Phineas and Ferb?
Yeah, what's that? I've never heard of that before. Pneumothorax. What if he got bit by a platypus?
And this is
that would be that would probably be at the top of everything. This is Don Lee. He got hit bit by a platypus. Now, he also used to do. This is Don LaFontaine.
LaFontaine was referenced with opening clips of his work and several subsequent verbal homages in the film In a World, written and directed by Lake Bell.
That's it. That's what I was confusing. Yep.
So I guess that's not her father then.
Right.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I think I confused the fact she made the movie with that being her dad.
Right. My bad. Passion project from Lake Bell.
Yeah. Maybe she played. I don't know.
Yeah. She's connected to him somehow. But yeah, that's Don LaFontaine. Middle name.
Oh, Leroy. Yeah. Okay. So it's a movie where she plays a character where she's his daughter.
Okay. Right.
Okay. That's why I got fucked up.
Don Leroy LaFontaine, or Leroy, depending on how you say it.
Mm-hmm. It's Leroy, but he pronounced it Leroy because he
pronounced it Leroy.
Don Leroy LaFontaine.
Mm-hmm. It's French. Nigga, it's Leroy.
Yeah, it's my ass, Leroy.
Leroy.
There's a auto body shop here in Austin that's called Ellis and Salazar. But when you look at it, it's like, that's Salazar.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it's Salazar.
and Rodriguez. I'm like, that's Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Chai Rodriguez.
I don't know who you're trying to
fool. WKRP. Chai Rodriguez. That's Chichi Rodriguez, Les.
Listen to this story of Don Leroy LaFontaine. Said his voice cracked at age 13 in mid sentence, giving him the bass tones that he later brought to his much famous success. His voice just cracked, and he had that voice. Like, that's all it took.
Right. Would you like to go to the prom with me? Oh my God, I can't stop it.
In a limo.
You know, one man, one way.
In a world where everyone else has a high voice in eighth grade. One man had a voice crack. Now he sounds kind of like Ja Rule without the rasp.
Was he doing like the high school basketball announcing and shit for the
that'd be cool
for the game?
You know, he got on his teacher's nerves narrating what they was doing. In a world where your teacher walks down and hands Brad his fifth F of this semester. Sir, stop it.
Passes it to the man. And boom, goes the dynamite.
I know he got sent to the office a lot.
You know he did.
Stop mocking me.
I'm not mocking me.
Stop talking like that. This is how I talk.
My voice is deeper than yours, principal.
Yeah. In a world, you have to call my parents.
And I'll be the one picking up the phone.
If they'd let him introduce the players on the court.
He'll do like the Michael Jordan.
Chicago, I got the Chicago Bulls music playing in the background.
Who has the more iconic voice? This guy, Michael Buffer, or Morgan Freeman? Wild card, James Earl Jones.
Those are like four different voice genres.
it is. Like, one of them kind of do their own thing.
I think it's Morgan more Freeman. Iconic voice.
Yeah, Michael Buffer, who is he? I got that question.
Let's get ready. He's a boxing man.
That's that dude.
Let's
okay.
get ready to rumble.
And now.
Okay, I know who that is.
Las Vegas.
He doesn't have an iconic voice. He has iconic.
Let's get ready to rumble. Iconic
say. Okay, so Morgan Freeman say, well, okay, so he's out now. So now we're left with Morgan Freeman, James Earl Jones, LaFontaine.
Well, and also, like, think about this. Who would you want to see introducing? Well, we know movie trailer guy Don LaFontaine is his. That's his thing. But who would you rather see introducing, like a boxing match? Morgan Freeman.
A boxing match.
LaFontaine. Well, a boxing match. We're talking about versatility here. LaFontaine, okay. I think, could cross over to boxing. Could Morgan Freeman cross over to boxing?
I see Morgan Freeman more as a narrator.
You ask him to do it, I think he could do it.
Yeah, he's more of a narrator.
I think Morgan Freeman could cross over to boxing, but the descriptions would be different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like a lot of long-winded
like,
descriptions.
Yeah, it'd be a lot like he was born on the south side of Chicago. Long
time yeah.
I'd like to tell you.
Talking.
I'd like to tell you that he fought a good fight that day.
He actually tells the crowd to sit down.
Yeah, everyone take ready. A seat.
Let's get ready for story time, everybody.
Let's get ready to listen. Let's get ready to listen.
Before we rumble.
Now I think James Earl Jones could perform it up. I think he would turn up for a boxing match because he's got more of that boom.
How about Barry White?
Nah, because it'd be too sexy.
Nah, yeah.
Because then people
tell you this, tell you that.
Turn the lights off.
Is watching boxing gay? As Barry White just did the intro.
He turned off the lights when y'all people be walking down the aisle to R&B and shit instead of hip hop.
All right.
This motherfucker be rapping to the ladies in the audience and shit while you trying to get me to box.
Like, why are all the women taking off their clothes?
Oh yeah, in the blue corner,
standing 6'3", 228 pounds of glistening muscle, ladies.
Speaking of the blue corner,
you know he's got to take off his robe and practice what you preach.
What
they got to do with fighting? What
the guy starts
speaking
taking off his
speaking of the blue corner. I've been blue ever since you left, girl.
Oh, no. Girl. The guy starts taking off his robe really fast. He's like, no, slow it down.
Slow it down. We're gonna take our time and do it right today.
Right. And you know, the people beside him is probably dodging all the draws and heels is being tossed at them every time he goes for an announcement. They was like, I don't want to be with him. Every time I go with him, I always get hit with a 6-inch stiletto. I refuse.
Why are violins playing?
Out of the blue.
Just introduce me, Barry.
In the red corner. Direct your eyes over to the red corner, over by my bass player, standing in the red corner. He's got a band.
We're gonna
take our time.
We're gonna do it right tonight for the main event, girl.
He brings the boxers to the middle of the ring. He's like, "Don't punch, just listen."
Can't get enough of your love, baby.
He stands 6'5" and a whopping masculine 200.
Robin muscle.
Listening, throbbing.
Because you see, girl, when I'm in here tonight with the lights off, like, what is happening?
Everybody
go back to their corners.
Right. They'll be like, and he's 35-0-1. You know you're the only one for me, girl.
You're the one, girl.
Here.
Tonight we fight by candlelight.
And now the boxers just throw their arms up going, what's happening here?
What the hell is happening?
Your love knocked me out. It looked like another TKO.
I think I better let it go.
Somebody else is on. I better let it go.
That's what he said at the end of the fight when you got both the boxes like
it was TKO.
Another TKO.
And the winner by another TKO.
All right, y'all, we're bringing this home. Jesus Christ.
That's a boxing round elbow.
I think the voiceover battle was won by the Barry White. He wasn't even in the battle. He just
off the top rope.
I'm the top rope.
And just as we get ready to leave,
out of my way, James
our
Earl.
African correspondent shows up.
Raphael is here. Step aside, Morgan Freeman.
All right. We want to thank Rod and Karen for coming in with us as always. We appreciate y'all. Thank you.
In a girl.
Hope y'all enjoyed this. Rod, I do need to get with you. I'm going to text you tomorrow about doing a woke father.
All right. Let me know. Actually, I want to holler at you about something too, but I don't. Actually, we can wait till the white lady stop recording. I'll tell you.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no problem. And I'll holler at you about this. We can get this popping. Thank you guys for coming in, Raphael. It'll be there for you when you go in on Monday. It'll be there. Y'all come on back. We'll be here for you. We're gonna wrap it up. Love y'all as always, chat room. Hope you enjoy being with us today. We enjoy having you with us. Thanks so much, y'all. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
Karen Morrow.
I'm Rod Morrow.
For the mark.
Yeah, you may as well. We're three guys on, y'all. And oh, yeah, babies.